Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So we will talk in a moment more about a story that, once again, bias by omission, is not getting the coverage it deserves with that 114-plus page report that was revealed. And we have a lot of reaction and an important guest coming up. So we'll talk about all of that. Just a moment ago, you heard from Allie Hopper, who is with at guardagainsttrafficking.org. Just encouraging you, please check out their website. Donate if you can or if you will. A very important 501c3 nonprofit that really reminds me of the story, the movie Sound of Freedom, happening in real time, talking about awareness and talking about the fact that essentially, when you look at how many missing people being human trafficked, but in particular, there were initially 335,000 missing children. And there is evidence now that the cartels brought in these kids, a third of a million kids. They have found about 25,000. Where are the other third of a million kids? That's what we're really looking at here. And the previous administration said nothing to see here. It makes you nauseous, sick to your stomach for sure. I know many of you reacting. We will be covering all of that as well as local news, take you through what's going on. President Trump planning a big AI, artificial intelligence conference. That's this afternoon, signing some important executive orders as well. Want to get your thoughts on this. 855-839-1210. And I know, Dan, we have some calls. You told me who you wanted to take, and I apologize.
Yeah, Phil in Delaware.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
That was definitely worthwhile airtime there.
Well, thank you. I would agree. I mean, Allie Hopper and her nonprofit, and we'll bring them back. Thank you, Dan Borowski, for bringing her in and booking her as an important guest. So what are your thoughts on this? Here's the thing. I sometimes will say there are some things that we should not politicize, that no matter what your politics, we can get behind this. So on one hand, we need to support organizations like this that are trying to find these kids. We need to support ICE and law enforcement because they're out here trying to find these kids and spread that word to some of the people who are being gaslighted, right? I mean, some of these people are, you know, their emotions are being tapped into. And we see they're oftentimes women, if you notice, right? And these grandmotherly ladies, and they're crying, and they say, why are you picking on this? We need to educate people to say, well, in many cases, ICE and law enforcement, they're looking for these missing kids.
Well, you know what's interesting about it? There's two things. One, like you said, they spike the attention with the hope that it'll burn off quick. Or they'll say, we got it. We're the government. You can trust us. And that's not the case, obviously.
Yeah.
One thing in particular I tripped on is foreign countries that are third world, second world, like Philippines and some other countries, where these agencies, like, just go after these single mothers or teenagers and send them to Dubai, to Qatar, Hong Kong, and some other countries, and they promise them that you'll get good money, sign contract for 2 years, they're away from their family. Sometimes they don't even return. They go MIA because they take their passports, and I've called my legislators in Delaware, and they can't seem to be bothered.
Yeah. Well, Phil, really appreciate your thoughts and being involved. It's such an important story. And again, you know, everybody wants to talk about other stories that I guess maybe they're more salacious. But to me, this is something that we can do in real time because these children, they are missing as we speak across America. Now, hope to God that, you know, not all of them are being trafficked in this way. But what is going on? We just don't know. And I, as a parent, I think about this. You know, you think about the moments in your life, whether you're in the grocery store, especially this time of year, you're down the Jersey Shore. And you think about those moments when your child, or maybe you've taken the grandkids or godchildren or the cousins, right, the other family members, but you take them somewhere, Adventure Aquarium. You turn around, especially the Jersey Shore, I think about that. You turn around and one of the kids is gone and your heart just leaps out of your body and you can feel your heart pounding and you're panicked. And everybody is looking for that child. Everybody on the beach is spreading the word and the lifeguards. And then you get the guys, you know, with the on the ATVs. Yes, exactly, Dan. Thank you for that. And I hate to tell you, but you and Maisie expecting in October, about next summer, this will be end of next summer. You'll know what this feels like.
Just walking down,
turn around and boom, your little one. Because they're fast. I think of Michael and David at a young age, like, and they're just gone. And it's in a split second and the panic, but everybody mobilizes no matter where you are. It's the grocery store, it's the market, wherever you are, everybody mobilizes. Everybody's looking for, you know, where's Michael, right? Or where's, I'll say Daisy because Dan and Maisie, I'll just say the little girl's name is Daisy. Where's Daisy, right? And we're all motivated. Where is she? Where is she? Hey, there's a little, what was she wearing? What is he wearing? Right? And we all mobilize and we're united and just finding that little one. One of my memories, I think I have video of this, is, and we were in Sea Isle City. And sure enough, it was Michael, that little Michael. Dang, he was fast. And because baby David, you know, I had, David was the baby. We were paying attention to him and you turn. So I'll never forget the image of being in Seattle City, and we look, and they're on the back of the ATV with one of the local, it was actually a lifeguard, I think, a lifeguard unit or one of the, you know, emergency response. And there's little Michael with his big smile on his face, and he's with this, you know, first responder there who found him, and they pull up. Well, Michael is thrilled. He's got the big smile. I'm just sobbing. All the moms are worried. All the dads are running across the beach, right? And there's Michael.
Jubilant.
Oh, he got to ride on the big ATV with the uniformed. That's probably why he wants to be an officer, you know, and he's at Penn State now, you know, studying for, you know, law enforcement type degree, right? Oh, my God. But your heart is just out of your body at that point. You're out of your mind. And there he is. And there's no, and then you want to kill your kid. You know what I mean? You're just like, oh, I'm going to kill you. What, you know, you just want to hug them and kiss them and kill them all at once. But I think about that moment and then think about a third of a million children missing and nobody's panicked. There is no panic. And that the, and to hear Allie say that this happened years ago at this point and that nobody in the Biden administration, nobody was panicking. And then you did have some people at the state level who are people at the local level, and they were just trying to do a welfare check, right? And they started to panic. But where was the media? If you think about it as a journalist, it's your job to ask, this is what you do to mobilize in the media, right? To say, hey, we have some missing kids here, and hope to God they're with a sponsor family who's a good family, and hope to God they're safe, but we can't find them, and nobody pushes that panic button. And then just ask yourself, and here's really the horrifying question to ask. You've probably already gone there. What if this had happened during a Republican administration? What if this had happened in the previous Trump administration? Can you only imagine what the media would be saying? And that's the sick part of it. No media group should be so political and politicized that they don't actively say during active queries, investigations for missing children in droves or missing young people, missing young men, missing young women. And for them to politicize it, that's sick. That's really sick. As we talk about, for example, you know, NPR. And what's in the headlines right now in the media? NPR, oh, they cut our public funding. And I said earlier on Kale and Company, and I'll say it again because I think it's worth it. Would you, I'm going to ask you, 855-839-1210. Let's just say you had an NPR and they were conservative media, right? They're publicly funded, your tax dollars. And Congress goes in and says, you know what? We need to pull some funding. And because media now is easily accessible, streaming, all the different platforms now, and we're going to pull that money. It's no longer needed after five, 6 decades, because we need to refocus dollars to where they're needed, such as searching for these missing kids, Border Patrol, etc., and refunding the police for safety. Would you say, I'm good with that, I'm fine with that, whether it's right-leaning or left-leaning, that's irrelevant. That's my point, 855-839-1210. Your thoughts as we move forward.
Just a producer's note, our guest will be joining us today at 11:30. He had to push back a little bit there, Dawn.
So. That's okay. So that's the other story of the day, and that is that we have a former federal prosecutor who can speak to this story that I think, again, today my theme, if you will, is stories that are being buried for one reason or another. And this is by right-leaning media, left-leaning media, all media. Why are they burying these stories? Why aren't they focusing on this? And so this is a story in which we have documentation that takes us back, gives us tangible evidence, memos, in which there were people who were in the intelligence community who are, and you see this, and I'm going to go through it, but you see this where they're even saying, well, may we suggest that you word this differently, or, you know, basically questioning people like Comey, right? Back in the day during the, you know, he was in the FBI. Why were they trying to word things like this? And why did they omit or hide or cover up? That's really what this is. It's fraudulent. It's anti-American. But they were basically trying to, it looks like, damage the ability for the Trump administration to have credibility, damage their ability to move forward, and also just trying to make false claims about the election. And will... Here's the thing. You think about what Trump went through, Russia, 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 Russiagate, and all of that. If you really think about it, what happened, you know, this is allegedly even former President Obama, but certainly those within that administration, what they were trying to allege. And then when you look at it, and we obviously have the ability right now to zoom out and judge the past and then look at the tangible evidence, it's basically what they were accusing President Trump of. That's what they were doing. That's what I see here. Everything that they accused Trump of, the J6ers of, everything they were accusing in real time during the early Trump administration in 2016, they allegedly, I mean, that's what they were doing. Isn't that amazing?
Do you want to hear from the big man?
Yes.
Tulsi Gabbard has submitted a criminal referral to the Department of Justice. From your perspective, who should the DOJ target as part of their investigation? What specific figures in the Obama administration?
Well, based on what I read, and I read pretty much what you read, it would be President Obama. He started it. And Biden was there with him. And Comey was there. And Clapper, the whole group was there. Brennan, they were all there in a room right here. This was the room. This is much more beautiful than it was then, but that's okay. I have nice pictures up. They came out of the vaults. They were in there for 100 years. This is much more beautiful. We have the Declaration of Independence now in the room, which wasn't here. I guess people didn't feel too good about putting it here, but I do. But you know what? If you look at those papers, they have them stone cold, and it was President Obama. It wasn't lots of people all over the place. It was them, too. But the leader of the gang was President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Have you heard of him? And except for the fact that he gets shielded by the press for his entire life, that's the one they... Look, he's guilty. It's not a question. You know, I like to say... let's give it time. It's there. He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election. They tried to obfuscate the election. They did things that nobody's ever even imagined, even in other countries. You've seen some pretty rough countries. This man has seen some pretty rough countries, but you've never seen anything like it.
And so President Trump is not just, he was not just riffing, okay? He was just not making claims out of the air. He was referring to, he was answering questions about a report that had been released. So the official report, they set it for release last week. It was released on Friday the 18th by Tulsi Gabbard. It's an important report. And no matter what you think about a report that's released, why isn't this a bigger story? Why isn't everybody talking about it? You have a current president claiming that a former president committed treason. So number one, you have him saying it. But then you also have so much that we've covered. Former special counsel Robert Mueller, remember that whole thing? So he was appointed to take over the FBI's original crossfire hurricane investigation. You think about Russia, Russia, Russia. I mean, a lot of this we covered back in the day. Well, now we have these newly unsealed and declassified reports, 114 pages as I've been looking at it. And yes, heavily redacted, but there's a lot there. Why aren't they going through it in the media? Can you imagine? Can you only imagine? Again, I'll take you through it. But can you imagine if this was, let's say, the Biden administration or the Obama administration releasing a report for the first time and unsealing it and declassifying it and giving to the media raw meat, which is basically what it is, loaded with information? I mean, it's unbelievable to me that the media just dismisses it as fake news, I guess, or says, oh, Trump is claiming this. They are covering that former President Obama did release a statement through his spokesperson yesterday and essentially said, well, normally we don't even respond. There's sort of a snarky little, you know, piece in there. Normally we don't respond to these ridiculous, like, over the top claims. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but saying that we need to respond to this. And so former President Obama denying this, calling it ridiculous. Around the corner at 11:30, you're going to hear from one expert who takes us through this and says why this is significant. But I would submit to you, no matter what, when you have this level of a newly declassified document, A, it deserves the coverage. B, go through it. C, call for some kind of hearings on this. I mean, we now learn that President Trump, that whole impeachment, all of those circuses or shows, whatever you want to call them, Shifty Schiff, you know, that they were putting those shows on, Liz Cheney back in the day, all of that orchestrated. But a lot of the information that we were fed and that the media was spoon-fed, turns out it was based on information that in part has to do with, is rooted in these lies. And this is critical. I mean, do you want to get played? I don't. And so I want the transparency. I want the process. I'll cover it. But I think we have to have the conversation. So up ahead, you'll hear from the expert as we talk to him, former federal prosecutor. But yeah, President Trump saying that, alleging that former President Barack Obama was the so-called ringleader of Russiagate and calling for him essentially to be criminally investigated here, but as well saying there should be an investigation and it should be transparent. These are new claims, new documents. We've never seen them before last Friday's when they were released. But where do you hear this being talked about or focused on? It's kind of amazing to me. And so I'm looking up and thinking about the networks. What are they covering today? They're covering other stories and not really focusing on this. Why? Even Fox News is surprising. It's surprising to me that they're not covering this as much. I think I always get them confused. One of the Newsmax type shows on the right, they were covering this a little bit more, but it shouldn't be right or left. I mean, that's the real problem here.
I do have the only coverage, the only time that was given to it on our Sunday morning shows was CBS's Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan, where she actually framed it in a conversation with Representative Jim Hines as, dangerous to even suggest that there was corruption here. Do you want some of that audio, Dawn?
Yes, sir.
CIA director issued a report critiquing the tradecraft that went into that 2016 assessment. Is there any legal basis for any kind of prosecution here?
None. Absolutely none, Margaret. What you saw from the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, was not just a lie, but a very dangerous lie. Because when you start throwing around language like sedition and treason, somebody's going to get hurt. Now, you pointed out that the Senate committee, then led by Marco Rubio, a Republican and now Secretary of State, found unanimously that Russia meddled in the election to try to assist Donald Trump. John Durham, special counsel appointed by Donald Trump investigated this, found that the Senate report was correct. Now, what Tulsi is doing, it's a little sleight of hand, but it's worth focusing on. She is saying that the Intelligence Committee early on said that the Russians could not use cyber tools to mess with the voting infrastructure, the machines that tally our votes. And that was true then, and it is true now. Though the Russians tried to break into a couple of states' election technical infrastructure, they didn't do it. But it is well known and well established that the Russians hacked into the DNC and undertook any number of other influence operations, including buying reams of Facebook ads to discredit Hillary Clinton. That is not in contention, right?
And so I want to get both sides. That's why I wanted to let that go a little longer than normal in this case. And so when I look at the report, I'm seeing language. I'm seeing a back and forth between sort of lower level people within the intelligence, the cyber intelligence community. And they keep, they are gently sort of like, if you were writing a memo to your boss or somebody that's more powerful than you, and you would gently try to suggest something, and it's all in there. And so why were they doing that then? Where they're saying, well, I would suggest that maybe you word this a little differently, because what they're saying in there is that, no, there's really, no, they didn't have this capability. No, they, or no, they really didn't do such and such. Maybe you should just say, well, maybe they could have. I'm seeing something different when I look through this report. And so I don't think it's a black and white issue. I certainly think that the fact that these are newly unveiled, newly revealed, declassified documents, number one. And then number two, the issue that I don't hear being addressed, and we'll talk to our expert around the corner, and that is, why were they denying newly incoming President Trump, and this was back in 2016, why were they denying his full briefings? That's another allegation. So we'll get to our expert. You'll hear from him. Stay right there. As we talk about this, again, underreported story, in my humble opinion, we want to get to my next guest, Brett Tolman, leading figure in the drafting and passage, for example, of the First Step Act, one of the most sweeping reforms of the federal criminal justice system in decades, and somebody who continues to advise, for example, many in the White House, Congress, on these issues. So policy expert, attorney, founder of the Tolman Group. And as well, you can find his site. I always want to give you the information where you can donate, get involved, learn about the initiatives he's involved in, rightoncrime.com. Brett Tolman, executive director for Right on Crime and former U.S. attorney. Great to have you here. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Don, for having me.
So the big piece of this is somebody like me, I'm looking through this 114-page report, was dropped and declassified last Friday, trying to go through that. But as well, somebody who, and my background is as a journalist, TV anchor, news reporter for most of my career, and then moved over to the conservative talk radio side. And so when I look at media, and that's one of my wheelhouses, and the way they report things, it always bothers me when there's what I think is a legitimate story, a report to go through, allegations, and what I see is some tangible, evidence within this report that something isn't quite right. When you look at this report, Brett Tolman, through your eyes, what do you see here, and what jumps out at you as far as what is disturbing? And what I would say, honestly, Brett, I hope to God this is not true, but I don't know how to say, oh, this is absolutely fake news. I can't because of what's in the report.
Yeah, it is. It's concerning for those of us who have spent time, you know, working at DOJ or working in Congress. There's a perception that has been growing that our government is willing to lie to us, and we're exposing more and more their ability to lie to the American people, and to do so in a manner in which anyone attempting to expose it is labeled a conspiracy theorist or labeled, you know, something derogatory. When in reality, we have allowed the government to grow to such an extent that they, truly those in power, have believed that their judgment is more important than the American people's. And once they get to that point, then the end justifies any of the means, including lying or other deception, utilizing our intelligence community to you know, perpetrate a fraud. You know, all of that becomes acceptable because you have a higher goal, which is we believe Donald Trump is a threat to democracy, or at least that's what they tell folks. And this report, in its raw form, is so very hard to minimize. And you saw the attempts of President Obama attempting to say, well, you know, we did receive intelligence. Well, the reality is they received intelligence, and that intelligence was very, very clear. It was crystal clear, and they all knew it, that Russia was not interfering and that Donald Trump was not, you know, embroiled in scandal in Russia, and that this was all fabricated. And they knew that, and they 180 degree spun it so that they could use it to their advantage against Donald Trump.
And when you look at this, you know, and just going through it, the fact that they had information, it sure seems like, and I mean, they mentioned POTUS in here. But who do you see, if they're going to call some kind of hearing or something to provide some transparency to the American people? And like you're saying, this is just a raw report that everybody can look at. It's made public, a lot of redactions. But who would you say should be called forth to answer more about what they're saying during this back and forth that we see in 114 pages?
Well, keep in mind, Tulsi Gabbard, the DNI, has indicated very recently this morning and again this morning that she will be releasing over 1,000 more documents that actually refutes what President Obama has, you know, the statement that he made, and it refutes some of the other statements that have been made by those that are embroiled in this. So we certainly need to get all of that. Mm-hmm. Then we need to have an honest investigation that's led by individuals who want to get at the truth, not individuals that don't want that or that they want to, you know, bury this, but individuals that want to get to the truth. And those investigators need to be able to interrogate, you know, or depose or cross-examine Obama, Comey, Clapper, I mean, everybody that is a part of spinning the intelligence report in order to attack President Trump and deceive the American people.
Yeah, you know, Brett, one of the pieces of this that strikes me, among others, is, you know, and again, redacted, but it's by an intelligence analyst with the Technology Cyber Intelligence Unit. And it's on page 8 of this report. And what I perceive in this is that they're writing, they're answering back, they're doing reports, but they're even answering back to somebody with the FBI. And again, it's redacted. But they're pointing out, they're trying to be honest here, it looks like. And they're saying that, yeah, Russia seems to be the only nation state with, quote, the current means and possible motivation to use something like a cyber attack. So they're using words that I would use if I were analyzing something like, okay, who could possibly do this? And they're putting that kind of language in. So that's in the report, right? That they're saying, well, they're the only ones who would have the potential. But I don't see where somebody says, yep, they did it. And here's the smoking gun. Is that what you're looking at? Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, that's right. And that's what's so remarkable in that Obama leads the effort in articulating not speculation or, you know, honestly, you know, assessing, you know, that Russia, you know, may have the capability, but we don't have evidence that they have done so. I mean, that should have been the messaging, but it wasn't. The messaging was that Russia has interfered with the elections and is trying to put Trump in. And then you had individuals like Comey and others go on under oath and state as much. And then you had the intelligence community working in multiple angles to attack the incoming President Trump and then the sitting President Trump in what I believe is an effort to distract him or to harm his ability to lead the country through, you know, one attack after another. And I've made this point before, but why would they do this? Why would ever anyone do this? Well, President Obama is the only president in our lifetime who didn't leave the Oval Office after his 8 years of service. He stayed in Washington, D.C., and so did his people and the people that were in the positions of power. And I think they did that because they were on a mission. They were on a mission to make sure that Donald Trump was off guard and incapable of digging into many of the things that they did during the Obama administration. And then to also be ready when they could put someone in like Joe Biden, which happened. And then Obama's people were placed back in power. In essence, a third term for President Obama.
I'll give you a piece of my opinion, which is that if I think about former President Obama's administration, you know, he was somebody who I think in many ways, because he was given a pass by the media in part, you know, you think about the deadly drone strikes, even that took some American lives in the Middle East. You think about how at the end of the day, we look at the fact that his evolution, if you will, on immigration and how they called him the deporter in chief, but he kind of, I feel like, did what he wanted. So it doesn't really surprise me, quite frankly, that he was, and I have to say the word allegedly, but based on this report, that he was basically continuing on and kind of doing what he wanted. I think it's
yes.
A consistent pattern.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's one of the better descriptions I've heard of what, you know, the approach that Obama took, and you can see it in his decision making. Absolutely unconcerned with any potential blowback or, you know, I mean, they touted forever that this was the president with no scandal. and the reason is because the media never held him accountable for anything that he ever did.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the one I looked through it page by page and even toward the end, but the one where you have, again, somebody with intelligence support and they even write back in the email, I took the intent of this email to get the basic starting point regarding Russia. We agree with. And he says, Russia probably is not and will not be trying to influence the election by using cyber means to manipulate computer-enabled election infrastructure. And then they go on that, yeah, they have the capability, but even notes that like refers obviously to meetings they've had that they're not doing it and they probably will not. But going through that, it's a manipulation, if you will, of, I don't know, present participle language of, you know, it's like active verb. You can do some gymnastics with it. But essentially, that's what I see here, that they manipulated these people who then even later were trying to go back in the report and appear to be trying to say, to clarify it. Because you're probably, if you're an analyst and you're that expert at the lower level, obviously some biggity bigs are looking at this, you're thinking, was I not clear? You know?
Well, I think that's right. At the ground level, in the trenches, you have analysts that are, it's very similar to FBI agents, right? Those in the trenches are trying to do their job. They're dealing in a world of concrete facts, and they're trying to assemble those facts to determine whether or not, you know, in the case of the FBI, whether crimes occurred, or in the case of analysts, intelligence analysts, you know, whether or not there's intel that is important that affects our national security. And but above that is where we see a willingness by the political appointees to actually change the narrative and to change the facts and to push them and push them out to the American people. And the analysts, they know, are powerless to do so because they have obligations of confidentiality and secrecy, and they don't want to lose their job. And so I think that model has been utilized, especially throughout the Obama years, but in a much more brazen fashion during the Biden years.
Yeah, Brett Tolman, executive director for Right on Crime, former U.S. attorney. You know what concerns me most is that I think if they thought that this was a lightweight, a guy who was a TV guy and just wanted to be a celebrity in the White House, they wouldn't have gone to these incredible efforts and lengths to do this if you look at the report. And so that's really what I find chilling, Brett Tolman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want your thoughts on this as far as what did they really fear? Because I don't think it's just Donald J. Trump the first time or now in office now. I think it's something else. What could they possibly fear by an incoming Donald J. Trump, either 45 or now 47?
Well, if you look back in our tumultuous decades of history of American politics, look at the presidents who had angered the intelligence community, and look at the repercussions for doing so. You had JFK, you had Ronald Reagan. I mean, you had Donald Trump. I mean, there's no question that intelligence operations were pursued by our very own intelligence community against these presidents. All shot at, attacked with campaigns against them. It is not surprising to me. It's not just Obama. It very well could be the intelligence community themselves laying all of this foundation in order to keep a man out of office that they knew was not going to be able to be controlled, did not need the job, and had threatened to expose things like the JFK files and other things. So I'm not surprised by, I think we're finally awakening as a country to see that we have suffered through some remarkable and disturbing, you know, times in which the intelligence community thought for the country and thought their you know, ideas of what should happen and shouldn't happen were more important, and they utilized key people, key positions, Comey, Clapper, Obama, everyone that's been involved. It's a conspiracy in which not everyone knew what everyone else was doing, but a few people in the intelligence community absolutely knew the scope of the conspiracy.
Brett Tolman, just incredible. I could listen to you all day. Thank you so much. And especially, I know Dan Borowski, our executive producer, called your team this morning, mid-morning. There was a lot breaking. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you come back. You know, I'll just finally say, you're not the first person this morning who talked about this awakening. The first person was Ellie Hopper, who testified last week, giving some pretty chilling and disturbing mm-hmm. information about child trafficking and about 300,000 missing children in America right now. You're the mm-hmm. second person this morning who has made this important point.
Thank you, Don. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Brett Tolman, executive director for Right on Crime, former U.S. attorney, and please check out all of his great work. I mean, my God, it's pretty impressive what he has done as far as addressing issues like everything from international adoption fraud to talking about, you know, different types of human trafficking, terrorism, breaches of national security. So quite the resume. But rightoncrime.com. Your thoughts and other breaking news of the day that I'll update you on, 855-839-1210. Dawn Stensland with you here. We'll be continuing the conversation, but I got to talk about my friends from Piazza Auto Group because, you know, when we reveal this information to you and we have this these moments where it's not just a 30-second clip, these are in-depth interviews. I have to thank my friends from the Piazza Auto Group. They've been the wind beneath my wings, and you know they've really been somebody who empowered us here on Conservative Talk Radio 1210 WPHT for many years now, and that's the Piazza Auto Group. And in fact, look at behind me, if you're watching on YouTube, the studio that I'm broadcasting from, piazzaautogroup.com, and we thank them. So I hope, even if you're not in the market for a vehicle right now, if you stop by a dealership, just thanking them, check out the website, PiazzaAutoGroup.com, specifically Acura, just named America's Best Value Luxury Brand in Kelley Blue Books. This is the 2025 Consumer Choice Awards, which are a pretty big deal every year. And this means top performance, cutting edge tech, unmistakable style, all with long-term value you can trust. From the sporty Integra to the all-new ADX, Acura, delivering more for your drive and your dollar. Visit Piazza Acura in Ardmore, Reading, or Westchester. You can always shop online, piazzaacura.com, for all the special offers. Piazza Auto Group, thank you. Tell them Dawn sent you. Thank you so much for all your comments and your feedback. Wow. Just a fast-paced day. A lot of great interviews. Thank you to our executive producer, Dan Borowski, for booking. Brett Tolman, Allie Hopper, we'll have them on back on again. There's so much to talk about today and so much breaking and developing. I did put out on social media, please follow me at Dawn Stensland on X. But one of the things that's gone viral is this woman at the Jersey Shore, and this happened to a relative of mine. She's eating her sandwich and you see the seagull like swoop down and grab the sandwich. It's amazing. These things are like precision pilots, but I've seen this happen in real time.
Yeah. You ever been attacked by one of them?
Not to that point, but yeah, they kind of dive bomb when you have food. I always want to have like a big super soaker squirt gun or something, but they're protected. You know that, right? So in Ocean City, I love the fact that you have usually a lady or a man who has the predatory hawk, like the falcon bird or whatever it is.
Yep.
And there are no seagulls. And then as soon as they leave the boardwalk, boom, they're back. It's amazing how smart they are.
So you're never getting mauled. I feel like someone that might get often mauled, maybe because it's the shiny head, would be Tony Bruno.
Oh, that's true. Tony Bruno.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes?
Good evening.
Hello
Whatever
again.
Day it is. Dawn, by the way, great show today. And your interview with Allie Hopper was phenomenal. This is what talk radio is all about. You know, getting the word out of what's really going on in this country. And I know there's so much to talk about. We have the Kohlberger sentencing coming up, which is another big story in Idaho. There's a long line of people outside the courthouse. You know, we have the Trump thing. We have the Epstein thing. There's just so much going on.
There is.
But I know you're a bit, Dawn, but the Inquirer today, I don't know if you saw this story about Josh Shapiro ramping up for not his run for governor next year, but also for his presidential aspirations. Apparently, he's increased the number of staffers dedicated to communicating his agenda. He had, because $3 million a year to hire Flax to go out and promote you and be there every time you have your phone getting, doesn't he do his own PR? He gets a selfie. Imagine if there was still film and it had to be developed. Josh Shapiro couldn't exist these days, right? Because everything is a selfie. So if he takes selfies all the time, why does he need a big staff of people to communicate his agenda?
Tony, it's just like you. You take the selfie and then you give it to me and go, here, Robin, do something with it.
I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush.
Lush, but, you know, I'll have a cocktail every once in a while. But no, great stuff today, Dawn. I don't know how you do it. I mean, you go from 5 o'clock in the morning till noon. Now today, I've gone from 5:30 this morning when I woke up until 3 today for Dom.
Whoa.
So, but there's just so much. There's breaking news. The other story that is just breaking. Will soon allow women customers to request only women drivers. So there's just so much to talk. We may have to go. I may have to stay on the air longer than Cory Booker did in front of Congress.
Rich Zeoli, watch out.
I know.
No, Rich is coming in. I hopefully we'll have a crossover. But Dawn, it was a pleasure. We'll be back tomorrow and on Friday, weather permitting, of course, as we say here. Nice. But great stuff today. Awesome, awesome. And I know Big Dan is. And Henry Machette, the producer. But the Big Dan, the one thing about Big Dan is that he's always listening to the station. He just doesn't focus a lot of time. He's like listening 24-7.
He's like omnipresent, for crying out loud.
Yes, he is.
Thank you both.
Well, the great Tony Bruno is back. We'll see if he has the crossover with Rich Zeoli. And as I say, behind every good man is a great woman. Miss Robin is right there, too. Have a great one, Tony and Robin. Are up next.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.